The Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 193. It is just Troy and Nolan for this episode, and Nolan Haim's creative presentation training is the focus. Nolan is in demand for this presentation and data visualization training programs, present your story and present your data, with an overall focus on enabling attendees to communicate with less text and more visuals. Let's turn things over to Troy and Nolan.
I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California, but currently on the East Coast at someone's home.
And I'm Nolan Haims from Nolan Haims Creative in snowy Montclair, New Jersey.
So a funny thing happened on the way to my airline status. I ended up in New Jersey at Nolan Haims' home. Dead serious here. And not being one to miss an opportunity, and the fact that I travel with a recording microphone or two, we have Nolan Haims of Nolan Haims Creative giving us insights into what corporate clients are lined up to pay him for. Amazing PowerPoint and training presentation programs. Okay, after that amazing intro, I got to say, Nolan, welcome to the Presentation Podcast.
Thank you, longtime listener.
It's wonderful. We always like to let our guests know. The podcast is kind of a conversation format. It's not really an interview format. We also have no sponsorship or affiliation, so everyone's clear, as in the open, to give their honest opinions about any software features or, you know, just no slanderous remarks about other people, because we do love everybody.
Yeah, no, we're not going to slander Sandy today.
I also need to acknowledge that our amazing co-host, Sandra Johnson, is not with us on this episode, but I know everyone is probably already missing her, or they will be within the next hour listening to just the two of us. Where do we start, Nolan?
Do you want to do a what's happening? And then we'll...
We'll get into our conversation.
This is a weird sort of, we're literally in my house. We're in two different rooms because we couldn't get the mics without feedback sort of set up. but we actually are on video. So I see you in my guest room right now, and I'm in my yes. office.
I'm going to ask you a few questions about the guest room throughout this, because there's some interesting art pieces in here that I want to know about.
Okay,
what's happening? You know, this has been we're only into, let's see here, this will release next week, so it'll be March, still Q1. Man, busy Q1, back-to-back-to-back travel projects of all sizes. I mean, I've been in all presentation support. I've been in executive boardrooms just working on presentations. I've been in medical advisory boards, or investigator meetings with, like, you know, 40 to maybe 70 people. I've been in large events with 3,000 salespeople. I mean, just all levels of presentation. It's pretty crazy right now for me. It's a little more travel than I'm hoping to do at this stage.
And
virtual events.
And did one of your events, you were with some friends of ours?
So a few weeks back, it was a corporate event in Orlando, Florida. It was phenomenal, where TLC Creative we were the presentation graphics staffing agency, if you will. You know, the production company said, hey, we're putting this on. What can you do for your team? And they said, could you bring in everybody? Really, they just want one invoice, one set of paperwork instead of weeding through. So we had 14 on-site PowerPoint experts. We had 28 show computers shipped in from our inventory. Obviously, there's more there than our team. You know, our team is 14, and we had 14 people at this event. So thank you to the many who joined us, including our very own Sandy Johnson was there as an offline presentation designer, making things look amazing. My good friend and kind of a mentor in the whole corporate event space from many, many years back is Paul Crisip. He was there. Jake, Josh, and Christy from our direct staff were there. Echo was there, and many others. So we didn't get to get together. Like, I didn't even see, I saw Echo and Sandy once, and that's because they were going to dinner and I said, hey, where are you? And I said, well, I'm going to join you. So I hopped in an Uber, and we went over and had dinner, and it was phenomenal, but we were spread out across four different properties. I didn't expect that. I thought we'd all be like at the convention center and we'd all get together, and we're at different hotels, but yeah, it was fun.
Well, I'm sorry I wasn't able to partake, even though you were spread out. But you did invite me. You did invite me down as I did to join the team, and I just couldn't make it happen with the schedule.
Ironically, Nolan couldn't join us because he had training programs scheduled, which is what we're going to talk about today, is what those training programs entail. So what's happening with you? What is happening?
It's a lot of training. I've just been jumping from client to client these days. Like for the past few weeks, it seems like every day is something different. On the other side, I found myself on the side of being a client as I've been hiring some designers to redo the website and work on some marketing materials and some SEO work that just felt I needed some outside assistance with. Every once in a while, it's nice to hire somebody to in some cases do what you could do, but it's nice to get a different perspective and have awesome. Another expert taking care of some stuff for you. So that's what I've been doing.
Okay, I know I said we don't do an interview format, but there are only two of us, and I have questions for you. And you can ask me questions, you know, about training programs I used to do or anything else. But let me start off with this. Could you give us like that 30,000-foot view of Nolan Haynes Creative in regards to presentation training programs? Like what is it you're all offering? What are you all about?
So it's always been a part of the business, but it's slowly been creeping up in terms of percentage. So these days, maybe it's about 2/3, maybe 3/4 of the work. Maybe one day it'll be 100%, but I still enjoy sort of practicing what I preach and, you know, keeping my muscles warm, doing design projects for clients. But sort of to go back to that 30,000-foot view, we offer presentation and data visualization training to organizations, or what I call qualitative and quantitative presentation training, under the course names of Present Your Story and Present Your Data. And we do that both remotely and in person, plus a few other things, some other customized trainings and webinars and stuff. But that's the core offering of what we offer to organizations of all sorts and types.
That is awesome. And I think that's probably more detailed than I've ever asked you about, because I just know you do training programs. And again, I'm a little skewed because, you know, our training programs were definitely a little different. So I know everyone that has joined us for a while, they know the basics. You know, they know how you sought out the presentation industry, how you climbed the corporate ladder of presentation executives. And in a burst of inspiration and a bold step, you just went out on your own saying, I'm going to do my own agency. But for, you know, those new listeners that may not know that, you know, that storyline, tell us about your entry into presentation design in your own words, not mine.
Well, it started back when I was temping, when I was still sort of in the theater world, and this is how I paid the bills. And again, one day I had a boss at a job who was doing a presentation and asked me to do it. And I said, yeah, I think I could figure out this PowerPoint thing, because I assume that's the program you use. And so I, again, like all of us, it became a niche offering, a niche talent that eventually got out of the temping world and started getting into the agency world. And then I was hired by Edelman, which was, maybe still is the world's largest PR firm. They hired me to start a department basically for dedicated to presentation for the agencies. And my bosses, to their credit there, they genuinely wanted to change the presentation culture at this agency. So in addition to just being an internal design hub for the New York office, which my department that I hired for and ran for about 5 years. So in addition to that, we also began offering internal trainings on design to the staff, basically to the non-designers, on design, presentation, PowerPoint. And those courses were actually the seeds of my current training offerings. In fact, every once in a while, I'll see a slide, I'll be like, God, I've been using that one for a long time. That example might even go back to, you know, the original. And I just started building and building upon those sessions. And that's where I am today. I continue to adapt and update and expand and improve them. So that's kind of where it started. But, you know, I do have to thank that job, because they were pretty serious about wanting to train their offices, which my training clients these days are as well. They said, you know, we need to get better at this presentation thing, and, you know, we're going to invest in training.
So you were temping in agencies. I got 2 points on this. Some people become like, you know, because you were in theater at the time, that was the focus, right? at that time in your life. Mm-hmm. Your temping was theater. So, you know, some people become a short order fry cook and you became a hired gun designer. But this, I mean, it's legitimately what you're doing. You took on temping. It's just, but it wasn't that PowerPoint, the design was new. You were temping as a designer.
Not always. I was temping, you know, I mean, I had design skills.
Were you a short order?
No, I wasn't. But I was, you know, it was like administrative temp work kind of. And they'd say like, oh, do you know PowerPoint? Like, you know, when I was being hired, I'd be like, yeah, sure. You know, because I did some work in Adobe and sort of just a little graphic design on the side. But yeah, once you get into that office, they're like, all right, you know how to do this? You know how to do this? Do it.
Oh, you always say yes.
Yeah. So I was, you know, I was working for like magazines, like magazine publishers, and then eventually some agencies, and then the agencies, you know, put me on staff. And I want to stick with training, but I have a question to ask you. Because this is always sort of part of the first part of the conversation I have with a potential client. When you hear the words presentation training, what comes to mind and what are your expectations? Just those words.
Ooh, presentation. Okay. Well, I guess I would ask clarifying questions because I want to know if they're thinking stagecraft, like how do I physically present? You know, how do I make a presence for my presentation? Is it the presentation design part of it? Is it how do I create slides that convey the message visually? They lead the conversation? Or is it, I'm going to ask clarification questions. I just don't know, you know, if it's feature function for presentation work, you know, using PowerPoint or Keynote or Google Slides. So
am I
the wrong person to ask?
No.
I come up with answer questions back.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I have to have this conversation because everyone has that question. Those words are not specific enough because when people call and say, yeah, we want some presentation training, I'm like, all right, well, let's talk about that. Are you looking for speech coaching, you know, how to deliver a presentation? And when they say, oh, yeah, that's what we want. It's like, well, okay, I used to offer that. I don't really do that anymore. There are other people that do that much better than I do. So I, you know, that's when I'll refer people out. But then I have to explain what I do, which is the presentation creation side. And that often, you know, veers into software or PowerPoint training, which is also a little bit different specifically from what I say that I offer. But I like to think that I'm on the presentation creation side. So we talk about crafting the story and then also designing the story. But yeah, at this point, I don't, that delivery, that getting up on stage is not something that's part of my offering these days.
Got it. Okay. So I was right. You just have a better set of responses than I did off the cuff there.
Well, I have to have that conversation all the time with clients and saying, okay, what do you think? And then sometimes they're like, I don't know. My CEO just said we were terrible at presentation and we have to fix it. So, you know, then we have lots of conversations to figure out how we can fix that.
I have an interesting insight into what's available to the general presentation user out there, especially in terms of presentation design and PowerPoint feature training. One of our new designers on staff is transitioning from what I'll call traditional graphic design. You know, he came from print, web, large format work, and now he's transitioning into taking those skills for presentation work. Great designer. It's not a matter of what does good design look like and how do you convey a message. It's a matter of how do we create those design ideas using PowerPoint as the design and layout software. So there's not a lot of books available on this. No matter which realm you go into, there's tangent books, but there's not a lot out there. Nor are there a lot of good online training videos like YouTube, LinkedIn Learning, and Skillshare, the ones that we access. It's just... I'm really amazed that there's not more content out there. So when you say what type of, you know, what is presentation training, it doesn't matter which avenue you go down, there's really not a whole lot out there for the general user. So I'm imagining that's driving a lot of the calls to you. And I will say, just maybe a little bit there, we conduct like an internal intensive PowerPoint skills training workshop for new employees. It's 2 half-day programs. Like we take their schedule. Lori sits down for the hat. Well, actually, I guess it's more than two now. I think of there, but Lori sits down and does the first half It's all about how do we use PowerPoint? You know, we know you have design skills. And then the other half is, you know, I sit down, do the other half. And then we also do these regular full team PowerPoint trainings where we take an idea and we break it down. I guess in the marketplace, that would be more of a lunch and learn training, but we're doing them all internally because there's just nothing really available out there. There are some tangent stuff and we do offer it up to our staff, but
so, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because you're talking about presentation training for designers. I mean, traditional, right? Trained designers. And I actually love doing that. I've done a little bit I've done sessions for like Creative Pro, like, you know, PowerPoint for InDesign users or, you know, presentation for Adobe designers, where I can, I've done that a little bit for clients, but I just don't get asked all that often because usually, you know, in any organization, there might be a small design team, might even be one or two people, and they're generally more concerned with training, you know, the 50 people or the 100 people in any situation. So I don't get asked it a lot, but I certainly enjoy it. And I certainly enjoy, you know, saying like, okay, this is what you do in InDesign. Here's how it works in PowerPoint, or this is what you do in Illustrator. Here's how you can use those skills. Here's how you, you know, do such and such in PowerPoint, and here's how you can bring your skills over. And like you, when I had a team, you know, when I was, you know, heading a department, I would hire designers who had maybe had some presentation training, maybe not, and then we would have to teach them, you know, how to use PowerPoint, things like that. So as you're saying this and as I'm talking, I kind of feel like I'd love to put together like an on-demand course for, I mean, it's very niche, right? But mm-hmm. certainly I'm just so, always get so tired of hearing, you know, really, you know, trained design, graphic designers saying, I hate PowerPoint, I hate presentation, you know, I can't do anything. I, you know, and like, I was just on the InDesign Secrets, podcast actually, with David Blattner and Anne-Marie Concepcion talking about like, how InDesign users, you know, can sort of make the leap or, you know, use their skills in a different program. So
exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of, you have the skills. How do we train? I mean, that's how I transitioned to PowerPoint. Design work was, you know, taking other skill sets and putting them into slides, which wasn't definitely not the norm at that point. And our designer's like, you know, he's doing some charting. He's like, I have gone through a few online tutorials on charting and they are also such superficial. It's amazing that I'm here because I know what can be done. Mm-hmm. So he's constantly, you know, pinging other design members. Okay, I know what I need to do. Like he knows the end result and knows it can be done because he's seen other designers offer it up. He's like, how did you get there? Okay. What about, because I said we do two half day intense training programs. Mm-hmm. And you said you have these conversations with your corporate clients. What is the duration of I'm just going to put air quotes of standard training program. Is it like half day, full day, multi-day?
It's 90 minutes is the minimum. And these are mostly, I mean, we're talking remote, but these can move into onsite. So 90 minutes, half day, full day, or a 2-day immersive. And if we're doing a full day or 2-day immersive, generally that's going to be an on-site thing. You know, if we do a mm-hmm. full day, I certainly do things where we, you know, do a full day of training, but we spread it out over multiple sessions. I know people have done like 4 or 6 hours at a time remote. It just doesn't work for me or for my clients. So we generally have to split it up. But that's generally, and then, you know, I of course negotiate and, you know, if people come back and they're like, we want a 3-hour, you know, or 2-hour and 35-minute training. I'm like, okay, like I'll round you up for the pricing, but okay. I mean, it a lot of times comes down to what they're willing to put into it. You know, I hear from a lot of L&D saying like, we do 90-minute sessions. That's all we can do. Like we just don't offer full day. Like our people can't do it. They can't get away. They can't sit still. I'm like, all right, I'll tell you what we can accomplish in that time.
But are they bringing you in for just one 90-minute session, or is it I used to do a lot of lunch and learns mm-hmm. where it was, you know, spread across a week or maybe once a month I'd come in.
It depends. I've, you know, I just finished a session with one client, which was, I think, 6 90-minute sessions spread out.
Okay.
I, you know, we'll do a 90-minute present your story. And then the next week we'll do a 90-minute present your data. Someday, you know, sometimes we'll do, you know, the half day again, or we'll do the combination in one day. Someday we'll do a full day of present your story, but split it into 3 sessions, you know, because that's, you know, 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours. It kind of depends. I do find you know, I make recommendations, and then, you know, again, a lot of these days, it's what they feel their culture can support. And some are like, yeah, we could do 4 hours in a day. And others are like, oh, 60 minutes, that's the max. Like at any point, I'm like, okay, like, you know, can we push it up to 90 at the very least? I mean, when you did trainings, did you do full day? Like, cause you used to do client trainings. I don't think you do them anymore, but were they full day, multi-day? Sounds like.
Yeah, well, you are correct. I was very busy with training programs several years back. And my favorite was the 2 half-day trainings, which is probably why we do that internally. It was enough time to dive into. So we generally would do it like 8 a.m. to lunch. So we'd have a 4-hour block, you know, with the 2 breaks in there. And then at lunch, you know, it'd disperse and I would head to the hotel and work on my stuff. And everybody got a chance to go back and, you know, check their email and do everything else. And I will say all my trainings were hands-on. Everybody received like a master baking show prepped presentation. So it was the same deck, but it had all the things like, okay, here's, you know, if we're going to talk about duplicating and how to do them linear duplications or, you know, aligned duplications, they'd literally have a slide all preset with a little blip about the instructions that they had hands on. So everybody had their computer in front of them. We really had to discourage email and stuff because, you know, we're trying to get through a lot. So it's, you know, don't bring out your phone because it could be a distraction. And then you ask people to bring out their phone to do something. We literally had their computer in front of them. But my favorite was the 2 half-days. It was enough time to dive in, to do that hands-on learning. And then the second day, it would be a shorter, like in-depth portion. And then we would do a Q&A and working through specific asks. You know, I was basically a hired gun at that point to say, what are you experiencing? What can we help with? But we built up a rapport. People had ideas. You know, people had a lot going. I also will say all of my training programs were PowerPoint only, PowerPoint feature function. So in other words, it was like, we're going to walk through how PowerPoint works and how to maximize the use of it. So a lot of shortcuts, a lot of, you know, PowerPoint is the easiest program for people to learn, but it doesn't mean they're doing it efficiently. So I was focused on telling at all levels, internal design departments through admin level, through, you know, HR personnel, finance, which was really funny because then they get into all kinds of Excel questions. I'd say I got to dumb that down for what I know, you know, because they get really into extracting data and charting. Anyways, so it's a good question. And I usually did multi-day programs when I got hired.
But this is all in the past, right? So you don't offer them anymore? Why'd you stop?
Do not offer them. It wasn't for lack of project asks. So that's a good question. Niching. We could not, as a company, continue to offer all the things we were doing. So we, meaning Lori and I, made a very focused set of decisions on what to remove from our services list. E-learning module creation. You know, that came off. We just stopped supporting it. We were really big with Articulate. We used iSpring Pro. We used, you know, whatever the end client was using. We were really big on creating their slides and then converting it to e-learning modules. Probably had enough. There are agencies where that's their entire offering. You know, it's a big category of stuff. We removed it. We removed live polling support. We stopped going to events to support polling. You know, we used to own the kits of hardware polling and we'd hand out the keypads and everything. And then ironically when we built up the virtual platform side, so during COVID, we integrated polling back into it, which was a natural fit because we were very familiar with polling. And then about 2 years ago, we kind of got more requests that said, hey, could you do this on site? So it's back into our core services offering, even though we'd removed it for a good 5+ years.
But you do that with phones now, right? You don't have extra hardware.
Oh, no, it's no extra. No physical hardware anymore. Everything is web-based. So it's on their phone. It's on their computer. If they're on a virtual platform, we do it hybrid. So people in person are looking at the exact same live polling as the people external. It's pretty cool. So on the training side, we purposely had to remove it from our list. There was just too many requests and, you know, we were suddenly conflicting on what we could accomplish. And So, you know, we had a great roster of clients, and it was kind of a self-perpetuating with referrals, you know, from one, you know, somebody would leave a company, and we just niched it down to, mm-hmm. and our core offerings, it just kind of left. I mean, I personally love training programs. I love building the training program curriculum more in the feature function. Like, here's how PowerPoint works. Here's a better way to use PowerPoint. Here's a new offering within PowerPoint. I think that carries over into my blog. I mean, I still do how-to tutorials on a very regular basis. I leave the training programs to the Mike Parkinsons of the world, the others out there for now. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll take them. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important for anybody to, it's like, I got rid of the speech coaching. It's just, yeah, try to focus on, you know, what you do best and what you, what it makes sense for you to focus on, basically. Can't do everything.
Okay, so folks, I'm in Nolan Hames' guest room, just standing here. I'm not being a guest. I didn't impose that much. I did say, hey, you know, do you want to go to lunch or dinner? I'm going to fly to your side.
Yeah,
of the country.
We got to talk about why you're here. Exactly.
Well, I got a personal question. Yeah. So there's this awesome painting, and I actually think I know what this is representing. But there's a rooster on a bicycle at mile zero. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's from Key West. Street artist from Key West that needs a frame. Needs to go up. You're in our guest room, which we call the Purple Room. Not because it's purple, but because it used to be.
So. Okay, because I'm looking at light blue.
Yeah, so
awesome. No, okay. You know what? I was going for Kauai. We associate roosters with Kauai because there's a rooster epidemic happening over there.
Oh, okay. There are roosters everywhere in Key West. So
you're right. Now that we were down there, we made our first trip only was just last year. First time Lori and I have ever been there.
But again, getting back to why you're here. So you kind of hinted at it earlier, like something about a mile status, but you literally flew from from LA to lovely Newark, New Jersey. And you're flying back tomorrow morning all to get status on American Airlines, right? Before your the end of the month.
Exactly. February. So this is coming out. We're a week ahead. Yeah. So February 29th is the cutoff for American Airlines. And every year I say I should get the credit card. And then every year I'm like, I flew enough. I didn't even need it. I achieved, you know, my executive status by flights.
You fly
which
all
means
the time.
I'm working way too many things. Yeah. Well, a lot of it's Europe based stuff. And what's funny is during COVID, they just kind of like kept giving it to you. Like, please don't go away as a customer. You know, I know it was marketing. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even have to fly to keep the status. And, you know, after a while, you kind of rely on it. So anyways, this one, I made a little bit of a tragic error. The first week of January, I was supposed to be in, Barcelona. There was a medical program there, and I was going to go there and coordinate the presentations and take care of stuff. And in the middle of December, you know, they're like, hey, this program is really reducing in size. It's getting shorter, this and that. And they finally said, hey, what would it take to get you out of it? I was like, you know what? I am so busy because I've got all these other projects. I am okay. We do enough work. I wouldn't even give a cancellation fee because we're within the time period. I just got to work on the flight, and that worked out fine. I took a credit. I've been applying it to other projects for the same company. But then about the end of January, I was like, wait a minute, am I going to hit my mileage status? Cause I'm kind of close. So I literally got on the phone with the American Airlines. Like, I've got these four flights coming up, five flights at that point. Like, he's like, oh, you're like, you know, 7,000 miles short of hitting, you know, executive platinum, blah, 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 triple diamond with a cherry on top. So I was like, okay, I've got this one, like literally I'm here at the only break I have the entire month. That's how overbooked I am at this point. So Lori, I, Paul, Skyler from our team, Phil, we just finished a meeting yesterday in LA. We packed it all up and then I went to the airport. Lori headed home. Everybody else headed home. See, it's a good thing we're recording this out of sync because my Jeep Grand Cherokee is sitting in a secure parking lot with about, you know, $60,000 worth of AV equipment in the back of it, which I'm going to fly back and pick up tomorrow because, you know, I was like, this makes sense. So anyways, I started reaching out. I was like, oh, where can I fly that would be? So I literally was on the phone line with American. I'm like, can I go to Chicago and back? Like, no, that won't be enough miles. Can I go to, you know, I went through it. I'm like, well, how about New York? They're like, yeah, that would work. You know, get the business class ticket, come back and you'll be covered. So then I reached out to Nolan and said, hey, can I take, are you in town? Cause it's President's Day weekend when this whole thing's evolving. I said, you know, I was thinking you might be out with your kids or
celebrating the presidents. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, why? I said, well, how about if I take you to lunch? Oh, are you in town? I said, well, I will be if you say yes. So there's the story,
so,
folks.
So the ironic part is this morning I had a training on how to meet and present remotely. And then Troy flies 3,000 miles so we can do a podcast in the same house. Naturally, we had more technical issues setting this up than we ever do when we usually do it remotely. Across the country, but I'm glad to have you here. Thank you for taking the girls and I out to dinner tonight. We're looking forward to that, and it's always good to see you. So yeah,
folks, we've been hearing about Nolan's like working with contractors and stuff. Their house is beautiful. I mean, I've been at the home before, but this addition is way more just stellar than Nolan gives it credit for. It is really, really, truly an amazing home addition. And I also came in about mid-afternoon and the sunlight streaming in through all this amazing, the whole wall is windows. It's beautiful. Okay, wait, back to our regular schedule right. Program. So you said you just did a program this morning that was entitled what?
Presenting in a Remote World. That's one of my sort of specialty 1-hour webinars that I do occasionally on how to, and I started giving that during COVID, basically just how to present and meet remotely, how to restore engagement, what technical, you know, what cameras, what lighting to use and things.
Hey folks, I also got to go to the Nolan Hames, his design studio, which is that the third level of your home?
Yeah. It's a converted attic.
I'm trying to count. So it's a third and he has this amazing wood, natural desktop that runs the entire alcove of where your thing is. But tell us a little bit about your technical setup, because it is actually, I mean, I have a lot of AV gadget stuff. Nolan's is like impeccable, immaculate setup. It looks beautiful. My stuff looks like, oh, you got a lot of cool stuff there. But tell us what you got going here, because it is
for my training.
Yeah, two microphones.
The training? Yeah, right. So I've got three screen setup. Three 27 inches screens. Microphone right now, I'm using my podcast microphone, which is an Audio Technica 2020. For my trainings and meetings, I usually just use this Rode video micro. So I'm going to throw out a lot of stuff, but I'm also in the show notes, we'll put in a link to my gear page. I mean, you can just go to nolanhamescreative.com/gear where I put all that. So usually I use this mini little shotgun mic from Rode, which makes expensive mics, but this is a very inexpensive one. And so that allows me not to have anything in front of my face when I'm trying.
They're on these beautiful boom arms. So they come down like a television studio, yeah. Which we do a lot of in our workshop, but they come from overhead. They look great.
Yep. And it's directional. It's very directional. And again, I don't like having them. When I'm doing a podcast, I don't care about having a mic in my face, but when I'm training, I don't want that in frame. Got a couple of Elgato, lights, they're key lights, camera. It's a Sony A6400 mirrorless. Actually just put
what's
in
the lens on it. That lens.
Well,
lens
I just
really
put
impressive.
In this new lens. I had a, what was it? A 16 millimeter, Sigma for a long time. And I just put on like a couple weeks ago, a 23 millimeter. So it's a little tighter on me. And I got that tip on that lens from a company called Viltrox. Never heard of it. But it's pretty impressive. I got that tip from the folks at Ecamm. So I think I like it. That's what I've been using currently. And then most of my training's done on Zoom. I've got a Stream Deck with, you know, bunches of specific buttons. Like I can launch, a 5-minute timer PowerPoint file just with one click. I've got all my music on there. I've got all my, you know, chat text, you know, here's the URL you should go to and hit a button and, you know, my Zoom controls as well. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I do have parallels. I usually present out of the Mac side, but I jump over to the PC side at times to demo things or if there are questions that are PC specific.
That's awesome. Well, let me drill into that. I made some notes here. You just listed off a bunch of stuff. So some of these are already been answered, but I want to clarify, are your training programs on site or remote? And you said both. Correct?
Yeah.
But what's the percentage of on site versus remote at this point?
Oh, 90% remote.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, even, I mean, I've had a lot of long-term clients, a lot of these like agencies that bring me in all the time. I used to always go there. Since COVID, everything's all remote now. So I've just found that the bigger sort of institutions are that have like real L&D programs, most mm-hmm. have not gone back to in person. At least that's my experience. So it's most of it is remote. I mean, it's generally the smaller companies that be like, yeah, come on in. You know, we'll do it in person. Okay. And like, I mean, there are exceptions on both sides.
Okay, but if you're on site, yeah. Are you at a corporate office or is it like an offsite venue for them?
No, it's usually at their office. Usually, because we're we're usually doing like 15, 20 people. So we'll just do it in a conference room usually.
And because you're doing so much remote, is it all live or is there pre-recorded elements or whole pre-recorded sessions?
I would love it to be pre-recorded, but no, it's all live. I don't think I could quite get away with that of like hit the button. I mean, that'd be interesting. Hit the button and I'll go, you know, I'm going to go read a book while this plays. No, it's all live.
Well, no, I'm just envisioning more like, okay, here's a training program on charting. And then, you know, for this 90 minutes or, you know, 60 minutes, and then we'll get together, tomorrow or the next day, and we'll dive into it in person and ask questions, or I don't know.
It's an interesting thought. I don't have that sort of hybrid remote. It's interesting. I don't do any of that. You're reminding me of David Copperfield. If you've ever seen him live, he would do like, and maybe it's gotten a little bit better recently, but he would do like let's say a 90 or 100 minute show. But like 15 or 20 minutes of was of him showing like past video of like his big stunts. And I always remember, I was like, like I'm sitting in a theater to watch 20 minutes of TV footage. But smart
Statue of Liberty disappearing. It's kind of hard to do in a ballroom venue. Yeah. Actually, I just heard about that. Ironically, I met a phenomenal, one of the audio guys that I work with occasionally throughout the years. I just learned you would love to meet this guy, Nolan. Now think about it. His background is, and we're going back more than 20 years ago, he was the sound and lighting for a traveling magician show. He was one of the first Western things to go through China. He spent 4 months in China where they did this literally rock and roll magic show. He was talking about this, but he did a bunch of stuff with Copperfield and he was like, oh, I can tell you that trick. He's like, oh yeah, I was behind that one. He's like, so it was very fascinating. Okay. Back to the regular schedule program here for remote training programs. And I think you mentioned this, what's your preferred virtual meeting option? Zoom, WebEx, Microsoft Teams, Google Meet. Oh, wait. I believe Google Meet is officially discontinued now, right? It's now Google Duo. So it's like,
really? I hadn't heard. I mean, I've never heard the term Google Duo, but that's just shows you how little I'm on that.
It's like their chat program and they're combining.
Their version of Teams.
Kind of. Yeah. So, now that you mentioned it's chat and it's live meetings.
Yeah. No,
so
I don't. Every time I'm on Google Meet or whatever they call it, like I always seem to have an audio problem and it's usually not me. Usually it's like, whatever. No, always Zoom is my preferred platform just because I know how to use it. I know how to set it up, registration, and know how to be my one-man band. If the client insists on something else, including Teams, I make them host it and manage it. Just because, again, I am it's always recommended you're doing these things. You have somebody else, a host, a co-pilot, you know, somebody to help manage it. And I'm sure everyone is hearing my dog Banksy. We must be getting mail right now.
I was just about to do a commercial break. I was like, why don't you introduce your dog, seeing how he's becoming an active third participant.
I think we're getting it on two microphones here. So he's really echoing through the house more so than usual today. I've gotten really good at sort of being a one man band, and I can do that really well in Zoom. I'm just not, if there's like an issue with Teams, a technical thing, like I don't want to handle that like in the first 5 minutes of trying to, you know, present to everybody and handle that. Mm-hmm. So I always ask that the client, if they insist on that, which I try to get them to not. And then, I mean, the other thing when I'm in person, this has happened. It's like you get there and you've got the contract and yes, it'll be in person. It'll be this many people. And you show up and they're like, oh, can we do this through Teams? Cause Jim didn't make it into the office today. So he'd like to see it. I'm like, yeah, no, like we're not, no, like that's just too much. Like 5 minutes before we start, I'm not just suddenly doing it in Teams because it doesn't work that way. So Yeah. Did you, okay. did you, you did on-site stuff. Did you ever do remote training?
Yeah. Everything was in person back in the day. I was definitely traveling to be on site. Very, very small number of remote training programs, primarily because remote, it just wasn't a thing
back
10
then.
Years yeah. ago. I do have this amazing story though. I went to San Francisco. You know, I'm in San Diego. San Francisco is the same coast. I went to the office, the branch of this particular client to their San Francisco office for a teleconference, because this is prior to Zoom taking over the world, because they had a secure teleconference between all their offices. So I went into one, I sat in the teleconference room, which is basically a boardroom with a big monitor and in front of you and the camera built in and microphones built in. But there was only two people in the room with me, but there was two other offices and they each had like 15 people. So it was like a 30 plus person training, but it was kind of weird talking to two people remote in person and then trying to acknowledge the remote people who could chime in. And yeah, so that was my remote. Yeah. Remote was a different thing before pre-COVID. COVID changed literally. I mean, it's a turning point in history of business, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was definitely an in-person person. And that's why I said, you know, I'm letting you guys do it for now, but this remote thing may work out where I could say we can make that an offering. We'll see. Hey, so marketing my training programs when I was there, I always literally said, we're a PowerPoint feature function training from a design expert that will help. I mean, the tagline was, we're going to increase slide design quality and we're going to reduce slide design time. Because so many people, they do things and you're like, why would you ever do that? That is such a backwards way of doing it because people don't know it. So, you know, this is literally our previous podcast. I was with Lori and we named it. You people don't know what you don't know, or you don't know what you don't know, because there are so PowerPoint is so easy to learn, but it's also so easy to learn the wrong way. And then people just perpetually do things like putting a text box over a shape. Why don't you put the text into it? Now you don't have to worry about alignment and so many other things. Oh, it's because there's internal margins for text that people don't know. So I would train on those type of feature function type of elements. Let me ask this. What are your clients purchasing when they book a training program from you? I mean, they're asking for, do they get into the, how do I use PowerPoint? Because you're talking about how to create the story, but do they kind of want to get into the feature function of the program itself, or do you weave that in?
It is woven in, but it's not, I'm always clear that this is not software or PowerPoint training. It's always in the context of Microsoft Office. And I say, we'll certainly show you tips and tricks and techniques for accomplishing what I'm teaching in that program. But you know, my elevator pitch has always been, we help you communicate with less text and more visuals. And it's much closer to presentation design training than PowerPoint training. Because as I always say, like we assume people have an intermediate understanding of the program. If you want to know how to create circles and insert text boxes, there's LinkedIn Learning, there's other things. I'm not going to slow you down by doing that, because also you put 30 people from a company in a room, your skill level for just from software is going to be all over the place. So I don't want to waste that time, you know, going to the lowest common denominator. And also just knowing how to use the program doesn't mean you can create good presentations.
This is very true. So I would do training of features and I would weave in design principles, where you're doing design principles and communication principles and weaving in features to accomplish it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So, and so with Present Your Story, for example, it encompasses five main topics regardless of length. Format and structure, where we talk about the two main types of presentations and also content writing, content structuring, outlining. And then the sections 2 and 3 are text and imagery, which are the building blocks of graphic design. It's my favorite definition of graphic design. I always say, and people are like, I'm not a graphic designer, but I say, well, if you put a word and an image on a PowerPoint slide, you've graphic designed. So that's text and imagery.
Graphic design. Yeah. I love it. That's a great one.
And then section 4 is design. Then we bring in specific design principles that anybody can sort of implement. And the last section is probably a lot of what you did, which was efficiency, which is more technical of, here's how to set up your UI. Here's, you know, here's how to copy and paste things quicker, and here's how to, you know, do this quicker. And again, depending on the length of the training, we go in depth, you know, to varying degrees on all five sections of that.
That is awesome. Hey, I'm going to give almost a shout out or advanced advertising to an upcoming conversation podcast podcast episode we're going to have. We're talking with Sally Z, who just released her new book. It is a phenomenal book. I'm not going to put in the show notes for this one because we're going to talk to her in depth about it. But you said something there that triggered it. You said you help people communicate with communicate with less text and more visuals. But Sally has this whole thing about storytelling. Oh, I'm sorry. It was you've graphic designed. That's what got me. You had this thing. If you've done text and imagery, you've graphic designed. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Sally's book had this. I actually highlighted this one in the book. She had a call out that's, you know, people are like, I'm not a storyteller. She's like, well, if you're talking and you're trying to make a message or be persuasive, you've just done storytelling. Yeah. You just don't have to call it storytelling. It was a total call out just because I'm reading that book right now. Okay. Moving on. I got to get philosophical here. Mm-hmm. Do you have an overall philosophy about training programs that is different from like the other training programs out there? Like what sets the Nolan Hames apart from the off the shelf LinkedIn Learning series?
So, well, first of all, LinkedIn Learning, I think is generally more technical. That's not a bad thing. A lot of the other trainings sort of in this neighborhood, including data visualization, they're more systematic, where it's like, okay, you got to get out your yellow post-it notes and you format and you write the structure and you do this and here's how you put a presentation together. And now you get an image and you put the text with it and you did it. And it's a system that requires a lot of steps and a lot of time, and they're not wrong. Like it's not as though that is not going to lead to a good presentation. The thing is, I've worked in the real world for decades, and that's not the way the things actually happen. That's not, you don't have that opportunity to sit down and spend hours putting a presentation together in that systematic way or putting your charts together. So here's my philosophy. I don't think there's anything, it's no systems, for example, but I don't think there's any such thing as a good slide or a bad slide. There's no such thing as a great chart or a bad chart. There's no such thing as a fantastic presentation or a bad presentation.
Okay, folks, are you all leaning in? Because this sounds like I want to hear it, because yes, there are to me. Okay, right. Go for it.
There's better and there's worse. So anytime you make a chart, you try to improve a chart, you try to get a deck and you need to make it better, you're going to make 1,000 decisions. You're going to make thousands of them. Most of them are pretty small. Some of them are more consequential. But every one of those decisions is going to push that work in the direction of being better, or it's going to push it in the direction of being worse. So for example, you're able to take a few words out of a header, for example, which is something I teach. Well, I think that just made the slide better. You're still communicating the same thing with fewer words. You swap out a bad clip arty image for something more professional. That's made the slide better. You've just added 7 bullet points. You've made it worse, right? So all of these things, I teach a series of tools, which are highly practical for the business world of the situations where I have 10 minutes to make this better. I'm going to work on this for 30 minutes. I have 5 minutes to make this chart better. What am I going to do? Well, I teach you how to identify what is not working, and then how to bring in that tool, be it direct label instead of a legend, how to write a proper header, how to reduce the amount of color, how to get rid of your bullet points and chunk them out. Like whatever it is, whatever tool that might be, it's going to address that slide, that deck, that chart, whatever, and it's going to push it in the direction of being better. Because you can't, there's no such thing as good, right? Because that's subjective. But I think, objectively look at a before and after and say, yeah, that's better. Or, oh, no, that's worse. You did something to make it worse. So we always want to be on this continuing path of improvement. And I think that's a much more digestible and practical way, having worked in the real world of approaching presentation. If you keep making these decisions like over and over and over and keep using the tools, yeah, you're going to have something that you would say is good, but I just see as better and better and better and better and better. Because you can take anything, any chart, any slide, and improve it. Right?
Yeah. That's a packaging of philosophy and approach. That was probably the whole star of the thing there. I like that. Well, first of all, I'm going to combine things. You have less text, more visuals, and there is only better or worse, and you should probably figure out how to make less text and more visuals on the better side. So, hey, look, and I could do the marketing for you, man.
So yeah, but to me that's really important because I tell people I'm going to give you a bunch of tools, and you know, some might not be appropriate in situations, some might not be relevant. You might not have time to implement them all, but I don't want to like teach something that is the 10-step approach to this, whatever. And you're like, I have 10 minutes to make this, but I don't have time for 10 steps. I don't have time to tear down my presentation and start from scratch and get my post-it notes out and discuss and identify who the protagonist is of my presentation. Again, it's not that those don't work. It's just that they don't work practically in most situations in the business world. That's been my experience. So,
yeah. I think that is an amazing, thank you. That's probably, and then again, we've never talked about this for those of you listening. I mean, Nolan and I talk fairly regularly throughout the weeks and this and that, never heard anything like this. That is amazing. Hey, question, and we got to wrap up here because I'm looking at the time. Do you offer any trainings in anything else beyond presentation, or do you offer on-demand courses?
Still no on-demand just yet. It's something I've been mulling around for a while.
I actually thought the answer would be yes. I was thinking some of the stuff you've done for Training Magazine is on demand.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, yeah.
Well, you're not getting paid for it, but there is content out there from Nolan.
Yeah,
available.
If you go to Training Mag Network, there's a lot. I've done a lot of webinars from them that are free. You just have to register, and there's a lot. So nothing on my site right now, and I've got a YouTube channel as well, some stuff there. I mean, I'll do some special trainings. Like I'll do template trainings. If we design a template for a company, we'll train them on that. I do have presenting in a remote world, which is a one-off webinar, also presenting inclusive presenting, how to create presentations that are inclusive of your audiences. So that's another one. Those are sort of the special webinars, but most of it falls under present your story or present your data.
Very cool. Hey, let's do a little wrap up here. Right? Okay, first, thanks, Nolan, for having me at your wonderful home. The remodel that we have been hearing about for the past year looks fantastic. Your girls are growing. Last time I was out here, they were still in the stroller with Ty pushing them around. We went to the park. I remember this. They live in a beautiful place. Like literally, there's a ginormous community park at the end of their block. It's pretty special. This was kind of nice because I took an Uber to get here as opposed to the train. And I got to see like a whole nother part of the area. Very, very residential, very, very quaint. A lot of snow, folks. I'm from San Diego. A lot of snow. Speaking of which, I probably won't do February visits out here again.
Yeah, it's not the best times.
But thank you for sharing about the training side of your business. Presentation, PowerPoint, charting, data, training, lots of titles for learning an important skill set. If your company is looking for amazing presentation training, and we've defined what that means for Nolan, hey, Nolan Hames Creative is a resource that you should get on your training calendar. Like I said, no sponsorships or endorsements, true honest opinions here. Thanks, Nolan.
Well, thank you, Troy, for coming out, and you're going to have to have dinner with the 6-year-olds tonight. We'll see how that goes.
Hey, I do work with a toy company. I may have a few items to hand off to bribe kids into liking.
They will not turn their nose up at that. I'm sure they will be more than happy to.
Okay, really quick pro and tech tips, jumping over to them.
All right.
What's yours?
Okay. My pro and tech tip is a YouTube video I did a couple weeks ago for left aligning labels in PowerPoint for bar
Isn't
charts.
Isn't it stupid that it's not an available option?
Still, after all these years. And people have come up with various things of going to the format tab, but it doesn't, it's even the solutions still don't always work. So here's what I've been doing lately, actually. So I've got a video, we'll put it in the notes, but basically the long and short of it is take your chart, copy mm-hmm. it or cut it, paste it. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you want to do this on a duplicate. You're going to cut and paste it as an SVG. So you paste it as an SVG, and then you convert it to shapes, get rid of the bars, but that's going to give you your labels and individual text boxes that you can left align, and then you're going to paste those over a version of the chart. So this is why you duplicate it. And very often I'll just turn my labels in the chart itself white, and then I have this grouped series of text boxes that I can left align, and I just paste that right on top of the bar chart. So that's what I've been doing lately to get your labels left aligned. Because
I thought you were going to give me a way to actually create a true left aligned label, because
I still haven't figured it out. I mean, again, there are tutorials out there are supposed to be able to do it with format, but it just doesn't always work. And there are ways to, you know, add spaces in,
too many.
This is often just the easiest and quickest and least headache prone way for me.
Okay, I have not seen this video. I will definitely take a look at it. Probably share it with the team mm-hmm. because it's something that we are regularly asked for this, and it's just like, yeah. And it's one of those things I call we work within the limitations of PowerPoint. If you have the time and resources, I do want to pay us, we will make it that way, but it's not going to fit within this standard budget because this is just a limitation.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go away from PowerPoint, away from training. I just got back from an event in Orlando, and I found this really cool thing. So I had a couple of evenings free. Hey, Disney World half day passes. They don't exist unless you know how to get them. So I did get off to a couple of Disney parks, and it was pretty awesome not to spend, you know, $200 to go there for 3 hours. If you're at a Disney hotel, a Disney property, and if you're part of a conference, or say you're part of a conference, totally up to you, they all have a Disney counter where you can buy your tickets. They have conference day rates. And so they have 1 p.m. access and they have 5 p.m. access. Hmm. Now it's wintertime, so all the parks closed at 9 o'clock. But hey, it was super fun to get out to the parks after hours, go visit, say I did a little Disney stuff and not spend like, you know, $900 doing it. It was just a couple $100 to go to two or three different parks. So there's my pro tip. If you're in the Orlando area, this does not work in California, to my knowledge. It's only Disney World, and you can get half day passes. They call them conference passes. They're only sold at Disney hotels that have a sale desk. So pro tech tip right there.
It's a good tip.
Those of us like to visit the fun areas. Hey, let's do some sign-offs. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design studio. Check us out at tlccreative.com. The vxpmeeting.com is our virtual meeting platform for online meetings, attendee registration, and my blog, thepowerpointblog.com, full of PowerPoint presentation, tips, tricks, tutorials. That's where I still do my training and other related posts.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out nolanhamescreative.com where you can learn more about our training, which we've just talked at length about. You can also find some free downloads on the goodies page there. And if you want to design slides without bullet points, check out thebetterdeckdeck.com where you can get the actual deck of cards, the PDF version, even the PowerPoint source files. And podcast listeners always get a discount with the code PODCAST.
Our theme from the previous episode on You Don't Know What You Don't Know continues as the underlying theme for this conversation, because training is how we learn what we don't know. Thank you, Nolan, for giving insight into what your presentation training programs help people know that they did not previously know about presentation structure, effectively using text and imagery in a presentation, and so much more. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, thepresentationpodcast.com. This podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.